Teacher, what should we do? And you saw that question being posed to St. John the Baptist, and he has a different answer for different groups of people. So how do we know what are the specific answer for us? Well, Lord, what should we do? It's in prayer that we receive that answer, right? The one that's specifically for us. As I mentioned last Sunday, in this first part of the year of prayer, and as we begin a new liturgical year with Advent, we're focusing on deepening our relationship with God by establishing a true and regular prayer life. Perhaps it'll be a first time for us to establish a regular prayer life. Many of us have been told that crucial importance of a regular prayer life. As the great philosopher and so-so rapper, MC Hammer, said, we've got to pray just to make it today, right? So some of you know, I see some smiles in your face. On a more serious note, though, the prominent lay Catholic, Dr. Ralph Martin, professor over at Sacred Heart Major Seminary, his office was right next door to mine, holy guy, he said that outside of repenting, that initial repentance and his decision to have faith in Jesus Christ and follow him as Lord of his life, the best decision that he ever made outside of that was to spend some time each day in personal prayer. And at first it began with as little as 5 minutes. As he grew that daily routine and realized how life-changing and life-giving it was, he steadily increased that daily time with God. Ralph said this about the time he was first trying to get his prayer life going. He's probably in his 60s now, but this was when he was a student still. He said, whatever the amount of time, I started out by facing his direction, by pushing aside all secondary things and simply saying, Jesus, I want you. Sometimes all I could do was just be quiet before him. Sometimes all I could do was simply show up while my thoughts wandered and I found myself thinking what I was going to eat for dinner that evening or what I was going to do about a test the next day. Nonetheless, I knew that just being there, pointing in his direction and sitting in his presence, even if I was distracted, even if I was dry, allowed him to keep a hold of me. This has helped me to continue to follow the Lord all these years, he said. So I'd agree with Ralph that spending personal time with God is the second best decision I've ever made. And it's because, outside of course, surrendering my life to the Lord, which I don't do perfectly, which is precisely why I need that prayer time with the Lord each day. If you profess that God is truly the God of your life, which is what we do each Sunday at the Nicene Creed, and if you truly believe Jesus when he says that the greatest commandment there is and the very purpose of our life is to love God with all of who we are, then doesn't it only make sense to at least check in with God daily, confirming that you desire to love and to serve, to glorify, to honor him in all that you're about to do that day, that's coming up that day, to love and honor and glorify him in the way that you love and honor your spouse, in how you love and interact with your kids, in how you conduct yourself at work with industriousness and integrity, in the activities you engage in, even in your downtime. If we're to love, honor, and glorify him in all of that, knowing that doing so leads to our joy and fulfillment in life, then wouldn't it be good to check in even for just 5 minutes in complete quiet with God to discern and listen for his will at the beginning of each day and dedicate all that you're going to be doing that day for love of him? The answer to that question really sheds light of whether or not we really take God seriously. and truly believe that he is the Lord of our life and each day of our life. I think you do believe that because you're here this morning or this afternoon. But perhaps, like other lifelong Catholics, you didn't think entering into this interpersonal relationship with God was even possible. And perhaps that's why you felt, you know, doing those rote prayers that you were taught as a kid really didn't do much for you. And you were never really taught how to begin that spiritual dialogue with God. And so, in our goal of changing that, last Sunday, I shared with you the easiest explanation of how to pray, using the acronym of ARRR, you know, the pirate's prayer, R, maybe. And many of you came up to me this past week and was boasting about how you knew what every single letter meant, and you found it to be a great memory aid, and you proceeded to recount those letters for me. But a lot of you were just 3 for 4, right? And so were asking me, what's that other R? So I thought I'd begin today, continue today's homily to do a quick review of that, right? For those who were here for that moving, that powerful, oh come let us adore him evening of adoration, we actually put that into practice Friday night, didn't we? So help me out here. A is for acknowledge, good. Just as the first thing we do in communicating with anyone is acknowledging their presence, so the first step in our conversing with God in prayer is acknowledging his presence within us, around us, and if you're in a Catholic church, before us, right? The first R is for relate. Yes, relate to God. What's going on in your life? What's consuming your attention, right? Relate both joys and your sorrows. Whatever it is, just be real with God. And then the second R is to receive. Yes, this is probably the part we need to work on most. And wouldn't you know it, receiving is the most essential part of prayer. Remember that when we pray, sometimes we think we're doing God a favor when we pray. Well, we can't add anything to his glory and who he is. Remember that when we pray, it's for our benefit. God is the one that is doing something for us, the price, and that is giving us the priceless treasures of his love in our life, of his joy in our life, his peace in our life, his patience, his kindness, his goodness, his faithfulness, his gentleness, his self-control. God knows our society needs some of that, right? People are, you know, going off the deep end in a lot of ways because of a lack of self-control. Do you recognize what these things are? These are all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? Those things I just mentioned. And it's living in the Holy Spirit through prayer that God cultivates those riches in our lives so that we can live our days with confidence and with the capacity to give instead of approaching life with the attitude of what can I take? That's what a rich prayer life does. But we often never stick around in prayer long enough for those things to download into our hard drive, so to speak, the hard drive of our soul. What takes longest to download onto our computers? It's the stuff with the most gigabytes, right? Well, what God wants to give us, because it's so rich and so profound, it takes the most gigabytes, spiritually seeking, to download into our souls. It takes time for us to download, and that downloading occurs in prayer. But we often disconnect before the download can fully take effect. So one, acknowledge. Number two, relate. Number three, receive. And finally, number four, respond. Exactly. Respond with gratitude. Respond with disbelief. If you're got to tell God, I just still don't get it, or I got to be honest with you, God, I can't see how to do what you're asking, what I'm sensing you that you're saying right now. Or thank you for clarity, Lord. I resolve to act on it this day in this way. Did you know what Israel, the word Israel, means? A good clue is anything that ends with L, that has Hebrew origins, is often has something to do with God, right? Michael, Michael, Raphael, Gabriel. And so Israel means wrestling with God, right? And so in prayer, go ahead and wrestle with God, because you need to meet God, the challenges God gives us head on. It's through the struggle that we grow spiritually. Respond, resolve to take action so that your prayer actually affects your day and how you live your daily life, and thus how you live the entirety of your life. So in this year of prayer, we want to give you the opportunity to do just that, to respond to God. And we invite you to respond to God with a commitment to come up with some sort of prayer, regular prayer life. And so to help you with this, notice that we have some purple slips. Some of them are pink, I think. They're at the end of the pews. So if those that are sitting at the end of the pews can hand some of those slips down to the rest of the people in your row. And we also have pens. If you don't have a pen, there should be some in the hymnal rack in front of you. And we'll give folks an opportunity to fill this out. So to establish a regular prayer life, we need to make a routine out of it, right? We need to ingrain it as part of our daily life. You don't find time for prayer. You make time for prayer. Right? If you try to find time for prayer with how busy everyone is, you probably won't be finding it. Right? You've got to make time for prayer as opposed to finding it. It'll involve then recognizing that lesser priorities have to be set aside in order to make my regular time with God happen. Identify those regular priorities, those lesser priorities, which is everything, because God is number one, right? So identify which of the lesser priorities you want to move in order to make that time available for God. So what is that opportune time for you? If part of your prayer is asking God to guide your day, it would obviously be good to choose some time in the morning before you begin work. Maybe it's as little as the first five minutes just before you start working. Maybe it's sitting at your desk and you're about to begin, but you take 5 minutes to be in complete quiet and focus and communicate with God. Father Brian and I, our routine, we meet at 6:10 a.m. to spend about a half an hour of praying the office of readings and lauds together. And then I take, some prayer time to do some of that R prayer and allow God to order my loves, as I spoke to you about last week. And then we also meet at the end of the day at 9:30 p.m. for Vespers and Compline. And that's the time we take when we review our day. We do an examination of conscience and we pray an act of contrition. We thank God for the blessings of the day. We recall the blessings of our day, specific ones, so that we have a spirit of gratitude. So please choose the time of day that would be ideal for you and write that down on your purple sheet. It says there when and where, right? So the place that you choose is also important because it needs to be free from distractions. I'm very thankful that our beautiful rectory has a chapel in it where Father Brian and I both do our daily prayers. And for some, the place that you choose will only be quiet for some part of the day. Like, for example, the young parents that I know that I admire for their regular prayer lives have their prayer, personal prayer time before the kids get up. Because that's the only time there's going to be ever peace and quiet, right? And then often include for their nighttime prayers, instead of trying to find personal time, they include the children in their evening prayers, reviewing their day together, right? Doing their examination of conscience collectively. That way, the parents are instilling their children to review their day in light of God's will. And that's a very active way to cultivate a sense of relationship with God for your children or your grandchildren, if you can do that, right? And it's great family bonding time too, because you get to see what happened during the day for your kid, right? And so that's part of their bedtime routine, just before tucking them in for bed. Then in that, if going back to the sheet of paper, in that first part, it also asks, what amount of time do you devote each day? You know, I strive for at least an hour of extended prayer time each day, and the majority of that is doing the receiving. You know, because last thing we need, prayer shouldn't be tiring and stressful. We should be receiving. It's like our charge time. We're plugged in to the charger, so to speak. So, but for starters, I'd suggest about half an hour. And if that's a stretch, try Crystal Gruber's suggestion of 20 minutes that changed her daily life. Her everyday life changed her entire life. And if that's a stretch, try 10 minutes per day. And even if that's a stretch, cut that down in half and try 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes a day is better than nothing. Since I brought up the rapper MC Hammer earlier, I'll bring up another rapper, one who happens to be Catholic. Remember Marky Mark? Bum, 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 bum. Right? So what's his real name? Mark Wahlberg, thank you. So, yes, you and I grew up in the same time. I think you just celebrated your 50th birthday. Oh, that was at Rick, right? Was that you? Yes, celebrated his 50th birthday recently. 40th. So, star actor Mark Wahlberg shared his typical routine, and the first thing he does each morning is a half hour of prayer. And Wahlberg is certainly not perfect. When he was emceeing Pope Francis's visit to Philadelphia, he asked for forgiveness for some of the roles he played in some really bad, crass movies. But he's come a long way from being that delinquent, druggy teenage gangster in his youth who got into loads of trouble and danger and violence. And he credits his turnaround to God and his Catholic faith, which involves daily prayer. Moreover, he shared how he tried to cultivate the same with his kids. All right? He said this: the first thing I do when I start my day is I get down on my hands and knees and I give thanks to God. Whenever I go outside of my house, the first thing I do is stop at a church. The kids will be mad with me. Daddy, it takes too long. I'm saying it's only 10 minutes, and this is something I really need to do. So he's impressing upon his kids that prayer is not something that is for God. It's for us, right? If I can start my day out by saying my prayers and getting myself focused, then I know I'm doing the right thing. That 10 minutes helps me in every way throughout the day. So wouldn't it be great to be able to know that each and every day you're doing the right thing, you're doing what God created you to do? That's one of the fruits of our prayer life. So the final part of there, since the kids are now starting to come in, our quiet time is done. So the routine within the routine, the second line there, how will I spend the prayer time? How will I spend that prayer time? When if you've been reading the Four Signs of the Dynamic Catholic, you know there's a section on this. What is the routine within the routine? And Matthew Kelly says, when people would say that they pray in the big leather chair in the corner of their living room each morning at 7 o'clock, I would ask them, what happens when you sit down in that chair? They would usually respond casually, I pray, as if it were obvious. But then I would ask them to walk me through what exactly happens and how they pray. And here are some of their responses. So this is some suggestions that you could put in how will I spend the prayer time. And they're very different responses. So it's whatever helps you to enter into your conversation with God. So one is, Well, I start with a morning offering, and then I talk through my schedule for the day with God. Right? That's part of the ordering my loves and things. Another suggestion, I read the gospel of the day, and then I talk to God about how I can live that gospel more fully. Another suggestion, I take out my Magnificat, which is like a missalette, right? And pray the morning prayers. Another suggestion, I read one chapter of the Bible, and then I pick one line that really jumps out at me and use that to begin my conversation with God. It's kind of like a mantra, right? It's a good way to memorize scripture as well. Now, and a final one, I have this devotional book that I have had for many years, and I start by just reading the page for today. One of our parishioners shared with me, she's a writer. She likes to write. And so her conversation with God is writing God a letter, writing God a journal entry each day. So those are just some of the suggestions, and I'll give you a couple of minutes before we say our Nicene Creed. But just take a few moments now to write down what you want to do, the routine within the routine. So St. Teresa of Avila would, you know, these spiritual masters all throughout our rich Catholic history and spirituality, the mystics would say that for beginners, before you can get to that place where you're receiving, because what would happen? I forgot to read you this excerpt. Because most people, when they pray, sit down and see what happens, and of course, very often nothing happens because we haven't gotten to develop that that discernment of spirits that I was talking about before. And so they get frustrated and stop praying. When dynamic Catholics sit down to pray, they don't just see what happens. They have a plan. They have a routine within their routine. So especially for beginning prayers where you haven't yet received the discernment of spirits where you can receive more readily, start with some spiritual reading that helps you get into that spiritual zone and have a basis of conversation with God. And when you're asking God and developing this dialogue, then you start developing your sense of hearing his voice, right? The discernment of spirits. So take some time to do that now, and then we'll continue with the profession of faith.